Change the Basics, barnburner.ca, our daily podcast entitled Fired Up. And they're fired up in the United States of America. No, not because Donald Trump, because the U.S. soccer team, football team, whatever you want to call it, did not qualify for the World Cup of Soccer next year in Russia. All they had to do was tie or beat Trinidad Tobago. And what did they do? They lost 2-1. I brought out the Hall of Famer, John Nelson of OSG Sports, based out of Atlanta. This guy knows footy. This guy knows sports. How are they feeling in the United States today, John?
Well, let's see. You could start with angry. You can go embarrassed. You could continue to, I think, apoplexy at some points. I think that it ranges from wanting to burn the whole thing to the ground and have everyone who played last night walk home. And we know how difficult that would be to walk from Trinidad and Tobago back to the mainland. It has ranged all over the place. And the day after, Jason Longshore, Jared Smith, and I on the Soccer Down Here daily radio program, we were like, okay, so this has happened. Where do you go from here? And we spent pretty much the entire 2 hours talking to people who had questions, and we wanted to approach it from the standpoint of, okay, we need solutions here, and we need growth going forward. You can't burn it to the ground, but you need to nail the next hire, and you need to continue to build using your U-12 through your U-17s and your U-21s, and you've got to continue to work all of that. But the first thing that you have to do is you have to get a style and you have to get an identity, and that comes from whoever your new head coach is.
All right, before we get to the new, who is the new head coach or whatever, but what do you think? They weren't prepared, or were they over-prepared and say, oh, it's Trinidad Tobago, all we have to do is play one half, we'll beat them 6-0. You know, like, what do you think? Take me through the psychological thinking of Team USA going in. They didn't need to win. They just needed to draw. It could be 0-0, 1-1, 2-2, instead of losing 2-1.
I think Bruce Arena and his staff were ill-prepared, and they did not prepare. They did not have a good game plan going in against Trinidad and Tobago. He trotted out the same starting 11 that he trotted out a couple days before in Orlando. So you're fighting fatigue. You're fighting all of those different things that come from a quick turn. And the U.S. picked the worst game humanly possible to come out flat. I think that, you know, and it took them 48 minutes to seemingly get engaged, and that was just because of the Pulisic goal. They didn't adjust to what Trinidad and Tobago were doing on the pitch. Tim Howard said in post-match scrum that they were surprised by how Trinidad and Tobago came out and played them. That, to me, speaks volumes as to, A, the level of preparedness that the coaching staff gave the team, and the lack of adjustment that the team did on the pitch and the coaching staff did in telling the team to adjust to what they saw with Trinidad and Tobago. I think the lineup should have been different because you're coming off that quick turn. You left Michael Bradley by himself again, where he's having to go up against two guys pretty much at every opportunity. And then when possession's coming toward him, he has to make a decision. And then some of the time that he had to make a decision, his decision wasn't to not make one. And that's just as paralyzing than it is to make the wrong decision sometimes. And I think that we've also seen the bad Omar Gonzalez come out at the worst possible time. And you saw him with the deflection and the looping OG that happened that gave it 1-0. I also think that in net, I think that Tim Howard is done. We have seen over the last couple seasons that longer range shots going at Tim Howard give him problems. And in what looked like pretty much when Alvin Jones shot that four-seam fastball from 35 at Tim Howard, it gave him trouble because it was moving from left to right. It was dipping from, you know, top down, and it just beat Tim Howard. And then his reaction time, that we've seen over the last couple of seasons, that his reaction time has slowed. And having guys like Brad Guzan, Jesse Gonzalez, Joe Bendick, Tim Melia, all these guys in-house, Sean Johnson, and you use none of them. And I think that Bruce stuck with guys that he stuck with too entirely long. So it was a combination of factors, all of them heading in the wrong direction, that came together in this match against Trinidad and Tobago where you came out and you did not perform, and that's the bottom line.
All right, and before we get to everything, how big of an upset is it in the United States? I'm based out of Canada here, and it works out, like, I'm going to be selfish. I think it works out to the Canadian Toronto FC's advantage because, you know, like you talk about, Bradley, Altidore are going to be more motivated. Okay, what a loss, what a devastation. They don't make the World Cup, so let's go out there. We got to win our league championship. We have to win our league championship because there's a bad taste. I'm sure there's a bad taste in Bradley's mouth and Altidore's mouth. So I think it works out for Toronto FC fans, but in the United States and you know, Atlanta has the new dome there. They wanted to play some, you know, World Cup qualifying games. And there's talk of having the World Cup in U.S. and Mexico and Canada in 2026. I'm sure they're going to play it in Atlanta. How bad is the taste in the mouth in the U.S.?
Oh, it's horrific. It's like drinking spoiled milk out of the fridge and not realizing that it's spoiled until it's two-thirds of the way down. And to take it, you took it from the TFC perspective. I'll take it from the Atlanta United perspective. Atlanta United fans have just as much reason to be pissed because Bruce Arena pulled Brad Guzan for both matches. Yet Guzan did not see 1 minute of playing time. Had this been known as the idea that Bruce Arena had, Brad Guzan could have stayed in Atlanta, been the starting goalkeeper for Atlanta United in that Tuesday night match a week ago against Minnesota United, instead of having to rely on a rotated squad with Kyle Reynish and Alex Tambakish, your number three and number four goalkeepers, who were in net in that particular game, and you still were competitive with a rotated squad, and it took two goals late for Minnesota United to get full points. So I think that Atlanta United fans have just as much reason to be mad because of an omission than TFC fans do because they're getting their players back. So I think that you're going to have, I think in some situations, you're going to have motivated fans. I think in other situations, you're going to have just as motivated players. But you wonder, I mean, this is a nightmare that these players are going to have for the rest of their lives, hanging around in their psyches, no matter how successful they are, outside of international duty.
And let's face it, you know, these guys are not getting any younger. Who knows if if Bradley Altidore will be part of, if they make it in 2022, you know, that's another 4 years. You mentioned at the beginning of this segment, they have to hit a home run with the coach. Any word who they're looking at? Because, you know, they brought in Klinsmann, they brought in Bruce Arena, they went far, like I'm going to say it, they went to World Cup, won a few games, but now not even getting there. And obviously in the next 4 years or 8 years, there's talk of expanding the field in the World Cup also. So USA, hopefully even Canada, gets to it because they expanded the field. But who can they hit a home run with?
There are a couple of names, and understand as you and I are discussing this, there has not been an official decision on Bruce Arena. It's safe to say that when Arena comes in and he negotiates an under 500 manner for his managing when it comes to CONCACAF, that it was a failure. He was brought in, I think that, you know, Jason made the point this morning on the show, that Klinsmann stayed too long and was allowed to stay too long and get his imprint in after his first cycle into the second cycle, and that didn't help matters in propelling a team forward when it comes to international success. So then you interrupt a second cycle, which was unnecessary for Klinsmann. You bring in Bruce Arena to stem the tide and put his finger in the dike, and you hope that the water doesn't come through and spill out and break the dam or anything. And it turns out that Arena failed. Bottom line, failed. Bruce Arena failed. So how do you, now that you are at the end of the cycle, you are at bottom, Who do you bring in? And there are a couple of names that have been floating around. You know, you look at Oscar Pereja at FC Dallas, and with what he's done in building the FCD Academy and building that to where FCD has done tremendous things outside of MLS and inside MLS. Then the name that Jason Jarrett and I have been trumpeting is Peter Vermes at Sporting Kansas City.
Yeah.
Look at what Sporting has done this season, including winning an Open Cup. And the only thing that is lacking for Vermes is international competition. So, you know, Vermes will not suffer fools. He's not going to take any crap. But you look at those two, and those are the two that we're looking at with possibly a Tab Ramos, you know, with his work that he's had with the under 21 side. So those would be the three, really, that we're looking at. And people are floating Tata Martinez's name around, but I don't think that there's any credence to it, because you wouldn't take a gig at Atlanta United, leave after a year, and then go coach a national team. So I would say that if you're looking for names, and whoever this coach is has to put their stamp on it and has to give the United States an identity. If I was to ask you, what is Team USA's identity on the pitch, I don't know if you could give me an answer other than giving up questionable goals and keeping players that were, the boys for the manager, the manager's guys, keeping them long after their supposed expiration date. Christian Pulisic.
That brings me to
a World Cup for another 5 years.
Yeah. That brings me to my next question. I think we talked off air about this. USA did not send members to the Olympics for the past two Olympics in soccer or football, footy, whatever you want to call it. Here in Canada, we know is you have to build something, send them to Olympics, send them to competitions, send them. But with USA thinking that, you know, we're not sending. Is there any question why did they not send a group to the Olympics? Why aren't they?
They didn't qualify.
Well, that's the problem then, because if you look at the U.S. Ladies, they're, first of all, imagine if they don't qualify, they're perennial gold medal or silver medalist or whatever, and there's always, we don't really talk about ladies soccer, but we should talk more about ladies soccer. There's always an emphasis, especially in the ladies side for the U.S., we got to make the World Cup. We not only got to make the World Cup, we got to win the World Cup. We want to win gold medals and all this. But in the men's side, it doesn't seem the same focus to be there, because they want to establish everybody in North America. I'm not only saying the U.S., soccer is the world's popular sport. Soccer is everything in Europe. How come is it not in North America? And yes, because of MLS, soccer has a bigger following or whatever. But let's face it, if you had your typical American, would they watch soccer or would they watch baseball, football, basketball, even hockey over soccer? But in ladies soccer, you know, you got to watch it. We're going to the World Cup. Is it a mindset?
No, I think that you're looking at a sport that is growing, and you're finally getting those grassroots efforts, and it takes time for it to get from communities to get to levels where you have levels of success, multiple north and south in age groups and then sideways when it comes to men and women. So I think that, when it comes to U.S. soccer, I think that what you're seeing when it comes to CONCACAF specifically is that CONCACAF is a lot tougher than it has been in the past, because you have all the other nations whose game is improving. I mean, think about who scored the goals last night for Panama and for Honduras that knocked the U.S. out. I mean, for Honduras, it was Ramel Quioto, and he plays in Houston. And so the same thing happened with the Panamanian who plays in MLS, who scored the goal last night to put them up top. So getting into CONCACAF and getting into the hex, getting out of the hex, is tougher than it has been in the past. And so the competition has increased, and I think it's up to the U.S. Soccer to the U.S. Soccer Federation to make sure that there is top-down learning so there can be entrances into the appropriate competitions so you can qualify for hemispheric championships and club championships and Olympiads and things like that. So it's a process that right now has regressed to a ground floor. And you can go a bunch of different directions about trying to figure out how you want to rebuild the house, but you've got to get the house in order first.
All right, you're listening to the Hall of Famer John Nelson of OSU Sports in Atlanta. Final question, we mentioned the U.S., but a couple months ago we talked about Argentina may not make the World Cup, and that will probably be a bigger story than the U.S. not making it. But what happens? Argentina yesterday with a victory, they're in the World Cup, and I'm going to tell you, not only are they in the World Cup, they're going to be a very big force in the World Cup, because I just have a feeling, you know, they're, again, when you come and I say, what's your predictions and all that, you always say, you know, Brazil, Germany, England, France, Argentina's always in it. So how surprised, I'm going to ask you a twofold question. Okay, we got to the surprise of the U.S. not making it, but how surprised are you that Argentina, after battling and battling, are in?
Not really. It would not have surprised me if they had just clunked out, and considering that they were down 1-0 after, I want to say, 16 minutes, and that seemed to wake them up. But I think that for Argentina, over the next year, they're going to have to figure out offensively who else is going to help Messi, because there are players there, but and there are name guys, but they're not helping out in the offensive set. Messi had to hat-trick his way in their last match in CONMEBOL to get them into the World Cup, and it's outside the qualifiers, so I don't have to worry about facing, I want to say, Australia in a qualifier. But Messi and Argentina are going to need help in the AFA over the next little while to figure out, okay, who's the number two guy who's just as confident about putting the ball in the back of the net as Lionel Messi. And for Messi to put the team on his back, it does not surprise me that he did that at this time for it to happen. But he's going to need a lot of help if Argentina is going to do anything in the next year in Russia and getting over there to make sure that they can get out of group and then turn it into the free-for-all that they like to when it gets to knockout round.
Over the past year, they're qualifying for the World Cup. Which team didn't make it but did have a good qualifying stage, and you got to watch out for them in the next 3-4 years for the next World Cup, in your estimation?
Wow.
People were surprised that Israel, actually. People, you know, and here in Canada, that they didn't show up better.
Yeah, and you know, with the league play that they have, I could see them. You know, there's, Paraguay, who got knocked out. I think they were right there on the edge, too, when it came to international play in CONMEBOL. But I think what this cycle has shown us is that just because you're a big dog doesn't mean that you run the yard. And we've seen the Dutch go down. We've seen the United States go down. And when you have two big names like that that are not going to be a part of the process, I mean, the Dutch have been just brutal over the last little while.
Yeah.
How do you fix things going forward? And for the big dog that gets popped in the mouth by the new kid, or even by someone else in the neighborhood that you didn't expect was going to bow their neck and pop them, how do you respond? And that's the thing, is that do you do something rash, and do you just try to throw everything you think that you need to with the problem to fix it, and it just ends up being Band-Aids, or are you actually going to create a systemic foundation and work your way up from there to rebuild what you've broken? And I think that's the key in both the Netherlands and in the United States. But obviously, since we're talking U.S., the U.S. Soccer Federation, there's an election coming up. It'll be interesting to see if Sunil Gulati survives. Who's the higher one to be for the national? Yeah, if Ronaldo runs and he's debating it, it's going to be close. And if, you know, who's the higher? And how long do you hold off on the hire? Do you hold off until after the election? Do you figure out what you're going to be in accordance with whoever wins the presidency of the USSF after they have their election? I don't know if you can wait that long. But, you know, when Sunil Gulati says, you know, it doesn't matter if you miss by whatever, but the quote from Gulati last night, I can't remember its direct wording, but as you and I are talking, but there's a disconnect there. There was a disconnect from Bruce Arena. There was a disconnect from Tim Howard. So there are a lot of things that have to be addressed, and they've got to be addressed fairly solemnly if the U.S. is going to get out of this hole.
That's why he's the Hall of Famer, John Nelson of OSG Sports. Here, I'll give you a 10-cent Canadian Tire dollar to make you cheer up at the end of the world. But tell everybody how they could get a hold of you, John.
Easiest way is to reach out on Twitter at OSG Nelson, and you can also do that at OSG Sports and follow along on theonlinesportsguys.com for all the news outside of soccer that you need to pay attention to. If you're looking for daily radio, it's the Soccer Down Here daily radio program, 9 a.m. to 11 Eastern time on Blog Talk Radio, syndicated overnights on ESPN Coastal, and you can also pay attention to Jason Longshore and Jared Smith, the other two co-hosts of the show, at Longshore and at Jared_Smith. You can like us, friend us, be a part of the conversation there. Also on the Facebook pages, the OSG Sports Facebook page, or at the Soccer Down Here Dash Atlanta United Facebook page. But just like us, friend us, be a part of the conversation 24/7, 365. It's always a fun run later to run down every day.
And by the way, the Soccer Down Here can also be heard on barnburner.ca. Truly one of the best soccer podcasts going around today. And OSG Sports Report, College Football Edition, also on barnburner.ca every Monday and Wednesday. That's John Nelson, the Hall of Famer of OSG Sports. Thanks a lot, John.
Anytime, my friend.